Intervju Radia Študent.
Poslušate Radio Študent Ljubljana na frekvenci 89,3 MHz in obveščamo vas, da bo danes zvečer v kinu Šiška v komuni koncertiral islandski oziroma avstralski skladatelj, producent in zvočni umetnik Ben Frost, ki so ga leta 2007 kritiki po izdaji njegovega fundamentalnega albuma Theory of Machines omenjali kot prihodnost elektronske moderne glasbe. Glasba Ben Frosta združuje nekatere lastnosti klasičnega minimalizma, ampak hkrati dodaja dronažo, noise in metalske vplive, kar po pričevanjih udeležencev njegovih nastopov pripelje do katarzičnih izidov. Z Benom Frostom smo se pogovarjali v kinu Šiška pred njegovim nastopom.
I would say Interested in and massive respect for, and I also really love the people involved with that label. I mean, Karsten Nikolai is an amazing composer, and he's an amazing guy, and I love his aesthetics. Having said that, I mean, I don't think my records would work on the Rasnoden label. It's, as I say, it's there are elements of what happens there that I think are that have similarities to what I'm interested in, but fundamentally I just respect what they do, and don't really, it's I don't really feel the need to be part of that community. It's their community, and I just respect it a great deal.
At Krakow Unsound Festival and many other festivals, you know, that one, you were placed among techno artists. What is your attitude towards explicitly dance music, but electronic music? I know your influences are much more closer to rock and metal than electronica.
In recent years, I've become far more interested in electronic music forms, not from a sound point of view and not from a musical point of view, but from a functional point of view. I'm interested in the function of dance music, and I'm interested in the way in which dance music is far more about space and time than it and atmosphere than it is about personality and linear narratives. And for that reason, I am quite interested. I think it's been a real eye-opener for me to play some of these bigger sort of festivals, and particularly dance music festivals, where I sort of got to experience an aspect of music which I really had no contact with until now. I mean, I was never involved in clubbing or anything as a kid. So it for me, it's an eye opener, and I'm curious about it.
I'm again returning to that fact list. Unfortunately, there's also a Burial Song and the Weekend Song, which are both kind of an R&B.
Look, I think if I was trying to get at anything with a mixtape like that, it's that in my eyes there is no difference between a piece of music by The Weeknd and, you know, Metallica's Master of Puppets. There's no difference except for a skin deep aesthetic choice that's been made. Ultimately, the music I'm interested in, the art I'm interested in, the aspects of the fucking world I'm interested in are the ones that are tapping into a fundamental truth about the nature of the world and the nature of people, and that is to say that it's visceral music.
It's something that doesn't attack your brain, but attacks some part of your innermost core. And yeah, I hear that in that album by The Weeknd. It's a dark record, and it's dealing with ideas that transcend any ridiculous idea of genre classification that, you know, you care to put on it. It's music from the gut.
So where do you go from this point, from the last record? What are you doing? I mean,
it's a good fucking question.
I think the next year is just gonna. I need to hibernate a little bit, I think. I've spent a long time now since By the Throat came out, more than a year, just doing this, talking and talking out of my ass about fucking music. You know, it's ridiculous. It doesn't. It's unnecessary, because ultimately my music should say everything that needs to be said, and I really just want to get back to that. I want to get back to the core of it, and forget the the system that kind of comes along with it.
But maybe sometimes it's good to have maybe someone else explaining the stuff you create.
Sure.
I mean, you've had a musicologist.
Yeah, yeah. Right? That's absolutely.
I mean, there was a revelation of some sort. Maybe some people found it easier to understand your music.
Sure.
Through explanations, right?
But ultimately, you know, I assume you're referring to the liner notes of Danny Johnson. I mean, he's a really fascinating guy, because I don't agree with everything he has to say about my music. I don't agree with it at all in many, many cases. But it's his opinion, and I respect his opinion, and I respect his
ideas about my work in a way that I understand that's
helpful
to people. But there's a
fundamental shift that's occurred in recent years
in the perception of art. You know, it's
like people who read liner notes before listening to a record are the same people who
look at the, you know, the explanation of a painting before they look at the painting.
Yeah, I completely understand.
It's fucking absurd. Yeah. You know, walking into the Rothko room in the Tate Modern
and reading
the text before you fucking look at the paintings on the wall, yeah, before you absorb the atmosphere of that room.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the stupidity of people is baffling to me.
Mm-hmm. You've collaborated with Brian Eno.
Yes.
And also Tim Hecker.
Mm-hmm.
Can we look forward to any other collaborations in the future?
Not in the immediate future. I need to get back to work and start thinking about what I want to do next. I've spent quite a bit of time collaborating in the last year. And it's great. I mean, I love working with other people. I love working with my friends.
Yeah.
Being able to help Tim make his record was an amazing experience. He's a great hero of mine, and I felt really honored to be asked to take part in that. And obviously working with Eno is a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun together. But
there also you have had images.
Yes, but they were Brian's images.
I
didn't make those. That was our collaboration.
Brian made the video, I made the music. And they're not
created to inform one another. They're two separate entities and they coexist. And I think that the space that they create between them is an interesting space. And I think the dialogue is curious. It's a curious dialogue. Sometimes I really don't like it. Sometimes I think it's absolutely perfect. But I think that's the nature of collaboration. That's the nature of sort of allowing for people to do their best work and to bring them together. I mean, you know, you have someone like Merce Cunningham, the choreographer. I mean, he commissioned before he died. Couple of years ago, I mean, he would commission composers for music,
and not hear the music until it was on stage on opening night.
That's a good idea.
I think it's an amazing idea. I think that I've had a lot of experience working with film over the last couple of years, and the level to which the composition of music has become this kind of design. It's a design practice now. You know, you're not being asked to create music inspired by a film. You're being asked to make music that fits a cut, that fits an edit. It's terribly depressing, and various other art forms are sort of succumbing to the same idea. You know, I would like to think that when I ask people to work with me in any form, whether it's somebody, you know, doing
the cover
for my album, or to perform an instrument on a piece of my music, that I would not dictate to them the terms in which it needs to be performed. I'm interested in people. And,
so what is the ultimate? What is art? What is a piece of art? Or I'm not talking about solely about objects. I'm talking about also happenings. Stuff
what
like
is
that.
Art? I can't answer that question. I think it's. I don't think there's an answer to that. And ultimately, any answer you could give would be wrong, because somebody would come along and argue against you. And maybe that's the art. Maybe that's the art that the
slipperiness of definition.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Ben Frost, thank you very much.
Yeah.
For your words, and especially your music.
Interview Radia Student.